What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports and our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. This is a special episode. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler. Across the table, Mike Arabasio.
What's going on, everybody? Special emotionally spent episode of What Up, Long Beach. We are recording in the downtown offices of the Long Beach Post. We bring you all kinds of great sports content at the562.org and through the Post. This podcast, The Show, which is a weekly five-minute video highlight of all the best from around the city, as well as our weekly high school and college column wrap-ups and other stories. We've got a lengthy column about Kobe Bryant's history in the city of Long Beach, which is a good place to kick the conversation off, because obviously that's what everyone's been talking about all week, and that's what we've been talking about all week.
Yeah, a legend unlike any other, Kobe Bean Bryant, an absolute tragedy. He just one of a few people who passed away in that helicopter crash. So, you know, seriously, thoughts and prayers to all of those families, because, you know, sometimes when somebody famous dies and other people die too, they get forgotten. They are not being forgotten. All of the names were listed on the forum. What do you call that thing?
I thought out
front of the forum.
Yeah,
their Jumbotron.
The marquee. I thought that was really cool that they did that. And it, yeah, you're right. I mean, even down to the pilot. You know what I mean? Nine people passed away, obviously under tragic circumstances.
And it's been a long time since we've had somebody in sports die this tragically, this close to their prime.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta go back. You got to go like Roberto Clemente.
I was about to say, yeah, that's really the last one that everyone's comparing it to. I don't have a recollection of that, obviously, in this same way. So for me, I mean, it feels kind of new. And
Thurman Munson, maybe?
Yeah, it was just – but, I mean, you know, I don't know. I've never felt – I'll say this. When my dad died September 11th, and this news were the three times, I think, in my entire life that I got a piece of information that my brain completely rejected. Like, I almost felt my consciousness leave my face or something that was just like, oh, this is like a different world I'm living in. Because, like, I understand the words that this headline is saying.
I immediately thought it was a hoax.
Yeah, but there's no way that it's true.
I immediately thought it was a hoax. Absolutely. I had, I had no question that it was a hoax for a good 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was just looking for the tweet that said, ha, 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 that was a really stupid joke.
That's probably like a more logical place to go to. I really felt like my brain broke, because it was like I knew I had friends who don't get fooled by stuff were the ones who told me before I saw it. Right. So someone texted me and, you know, this is not someone who's been, you know, caught off guard by someone doing the 7 emoji instead of a verified check or whatever. Right. Like a couple people that I really trust texted me about it. And so I'm looking at the story and it really was just like everything locked up, you know, and it was like I had spent so much time imagining, same way with my dad, same way with, you know, the idea of living in a country that wasn't at war. I'd so clearly seen and imagined what Kobe was going to look like as a 70-year-old dude doing NBA TV interviews on our holo chip or whatever we're going to be watching, that everything shut down, you know, and it was just like, well, that can't be.
Yeah,
you know?
Not only that, but, and I got to shout out Chris Ryan of The Ringer. I heard him say this first, and it's something that I was thinking about pretty quickly after I heard the news. Why am I so emotional, right? Like, I don't know this person personally, but they've been a part of my life. We always get emotional when the celebrities that mean a lot to us pass away or move on to other things. And this just feels different because Kobe Bryant brought out so many different emotions in me.
Yeah.
I'm a born Lakers fan. So as a Lakers fan, I love Kobe, you know, as much as any other Laker, but even more. But then I also had those moments where I hated Kobe, made me feel alone, where he made me feel saved, where he made me feel like friends.
Yeah.
You know, all these different emotions that you had with Kobe over the years. How proud you and I were when the guy won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Like, that's got absolutely nothing to do with basketball, but he was our guy. So we just wanted the best for him. And you just felt all these emotions again and again and again. And they were all so different. I think that's why this hurts so much, is because it's got all the feels.
Kobe would not probably have been in my like top five favorite athletes list or something like that. But in terms of top five like athletes that you felt the most connected to or whose story you felt like you'd been invested in the most, he'd probably be number one. I think we've talked about this on this podcast. I think you're kind of the same way as me. I was a Shaq kid in the divorce. You know what I mean? There were a couple years I was really furious. I felt like Kobe had run our best player out of town, and I really loved Shaq. And so I came back around, and I mean, loved watching the Kobe Shaq years, my favorite years as a sports fan. Probably the best years we'll ever have. High school. Everyone in the city's driving around with car flags on.
We grew up with that team.
That was the team, and it was the team that gave you the false sense of security that, like, this is what it's like to be a sports fan, and with no appreciation of, like, actually it's never like this. But, like, really came back around. I agreed with a lot of the criticisms of the game, you know, that it was like he was too selfish, and I didn't like the way that he copied the worst stuff as I grew up about Michael Jordan's personality. You know, you and I have used the phrase with each other. It's like, you're being a little too Kobe right now, that it's like, remember, you're on a team. I'm here to help you. Like, you're not competing with me. You don't need to try and, like, beat me or whatever. Yeah, right?
The same guy that made, some mid-level talent around him so great that they won an NBA championship after Shaq left is the same guy who stole everybody's Kobe's after they lost in Portland because they were soft. And then passed for the entire second half in a game in Sacramento to prove to everybody that he should shoot.
Right. And you don't want that from your friends and your family and your coworkers. But we all work in sports, so everyone idolizes that kind of behavior, right? And so, but for me, I was really moved to tears with the injury and his comeback from the injury, and then the way he pivoted away from being Michael Jordan, where from my perspective, and if you've watched Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, I think you'd agree with this, I just don't think MJ could ever let that go. There's almost something psychopathic about that level of competitiveness.
Kobe turned into a dad.
And Kobe...
It changed his life.
Kobe pivoted into caring as much about his family and about his life in that world as he did about basketball. And for me personally, and you know this, like, both of us, and if any of you followed us for 5 days, you know, like, JJ and I are probably clinically classified workaholics. You know what I mean? And for me, I was talking about this to my wife last night. I always feel like whenever I'm with my friends or my or my extended family, there's always a part of me that's like, I wish these people could see me work. I wish they could see me writing. I wish they could read something I wrote and we could talk about that, because I'm so much more comfortable as a writer than I am as a person. And I know that's not healthy. And I, you know, it's one of the things I'm talking to that I'm in therapy for or whatever. But I've figured out in the last years how to be a husband and a dad at least as good as I think that I am a writer. But that really, for like years and years, was kind of like an alien thing to me. And it was really inspiring, because I think Kobe, still, when you see everyone's tributes, embodies that do the work no matter what, high work ethic kind of a thing. And to see him, like the guy who embodied that, so fully throw himself into, I'm going to be happy in my house. That's my new goal. I genuinely would use the word inspirational for that. For me, I mean, it really means and meant a lot to me that he did that.
He's obviously a legend, but he's a different kind of legend, a legend unlike any other, because I said this at the Century Club banquet last night on Monday, and we'll talk about that event a little bit later on in the show. But I said, you know, he's larger than life in that if I go outside right now and I shoot a basketball, whose name am I going to yell when I let it go?
Kobe.
Exactly. You say his name when you shoot the ball. It doesn't get much more larger than life than that.
Right.
But then he's also the guy, and these have always been my favorite players. He said to Michael Wilbon, to the question, how do you want to be remembered? And he said, I never wanted to take my God-given talent for granted. I never wanted to waste it. And quote, I wanted to play every day like I was the 12th man on the bench. End quote. That's one of the greatest basketball players of all time saying, play like the 12th guy. Play like the skinny white kid whipping the towel around during the NCAA tournament. Play like that kid. Be that. Bring that energy to everything you do. And that's so inspiring, but so humble too. So the guy whose name gets yelled when you shoot the thing that he basically made his bones doing is also telling you, hustle like you've never hustled before, go to sleep, wake up, and do it again. Yeah. And those have always been my favorite athletes. Yeah. Those guys that are like, you know what works? Work.
Yeah. I want to mention, I think, something that you and I have an odd relationship with death, I guess is just a plain way to put it. But a thing about being the sort of stewards of a city's sports tradition, and, you know, you and I, we've talked about this, man, like from Jim McCormick, we're the last gunslingers in town, right? Like
Jim McCormick, former Press Telegram sports editor.
For 40 plus years, a great mentor of ours. But he said it's like there was this incredible unbroken history of sports writing and the guys who chronicled this stuff. And, you know, you and I are sort of where that sits at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of the responsibilities of that is, you know, we both write 5 to 10 obituaries every year. And sometimes, tragically, that's like 15-year-old kids, and sometimes it's 90-year-old people who are leaving behind a happy family and incredible history, and you literally put in the obituary, like, this is the best-case scenario.
Right.
If it, you know, if we go out like this, like, you hit the jackpot, and then you hit it again.
Yep.
And I don't know. There's just something about this story that is just so different to me because it just doesn't. It's just, like, not right. The whole thing is not right. It's not right that you could see so clearly where Kobe was going as a coach and as a mentor and as an advocate for the women's game.
As a father.
As a father wrapped up in that.
To the city. Of not just a father to his girls.
Yeah.
He's our dad.
But they, you know, they'd make the joke during WNBA games, like future WNBA commissioner Kobe Bryant, right? I mean, like, that was that movement that's happening right now – you could tell he wanted to be a leader in that, and he started taking the steps. So to see that part end, and then we haven't even talked about it, and to be honest, it's the one kind of like black box in my head I can't even open up, for his 13-year-old daughter that was so clearly going to be a revolutionary, transcendent type athlete, right? I mean, that just was already beloved and who was so comfortable taking on her dad's mantle and all that pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have people who are in the pyramid with them in December talking about that. Everyone that came up to talk to Kobe, he introduced to Gigi because that was
right.
Like, that's where he was putting, and he has an older daughter who played volleyball and everything, but it was like, but this girl, he has a special connection with her. And that happens when you have multiple kids, you have different kinds of connections with your kids. And that was where he was putting all of that, was in her. And the idea that they, you know, they die together going to a basketball practice is just like, I don't know, man. Every parent we cover is taking their kids to practice 1,000 times, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a thing that you take for granted that's the other part of it for me. I mean, I don't know. Well, how do you go about your daily life and still think about that kind of thing being possible, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. That wasn't the only time Kobe was at Walter Pyramid. Which is pretty cool. Kobe Long Beach ties that, you know, unfortunately this is when we're talking about him. But you and I have talked about him playing his summer ball in the mid, like, probably twice a year.
First time he put on the purple and gold, it was one of those crappy Big Five, like, mesh jerseys.
Reversible.
Reversible.
In the great AP photo, wearing 32, which I think was definitely on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the reversible jersey with the 32 on the inside backwards.
Just really quick, and he's talked about that. But, you know, Magic was his favorite player. And then when he realized he wasn't going to be as tall as Magic, he consciously made the decision to, like, I better steal Michael Jordan's entire repertoire. But Magic was the mayor of Long Beach, basically, during the Summer Pro League because he always had an all-star team that was always him and a bunch of other guys. He'd get Barkley to come through or whatever. And so if you had this $5 ticket to go see these games, you'd see Magic running point in the pyramid with these other Hall of Famers or whoever. But he was the guy where it was like, really, if you were going to the Pro League, sports fandom was different at that time. And I know this is only, you know, 25 years ago, but, like, people weren't watching the Pro League.
Yeah.
You know, it's on NBA TV now, but, like, no one was really going to see the games. The games were usually almost empty, and most people, myself included, were going because, like, oh, Magic's going to be there. Mm. And he would hang out in the stands, you could talk to him. So Kobe showing up in the purple and gold for the first time as a 17-year-old, by the way, so he'd be like a high school sophomore by today's elite athlete standard.
After Jerry West pulled the move of all moves and traded the great Vlade Divac for a draft pick that ended up being Kobe Bean Bryant.
Kobe walks out on the pyramid floor in a purple and gold, it was gold, mesh with the 32. You're so right, and I totally hadn't even thought about that. In Magic's building.
Yep.
Goes out, makes his first two shots. That was not a half-empty building. The hype was real. I think for everyone our age, I was 12. It was like, this is the guy who went to prom with Brandy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, because YouTube didn't exist. We weren't watching Kobe Bryant. We weren't watching Lower Merion reels the way that people now see Peyton Watson or Josh Christopher. But it was like, it's a celebrity, and he's going to be the next big guy, and he went to prom with Brandy. Like, that's what I took away from the press telegram preview of the event. And so, yeah, he went and he balled out, and it's just perfect. And what I thought is cool, and if you followed Kobe, you know how much he was a student of his own life and of the history of the sport.
A student of the earth. This guy had an insatiable curiosity.
Yeah.
Only somebody with that much space in their head and the desire to fill it would speak as many languages as Kobe did.
Right.
You and I were in London for the 2012 Summer Olympics. We were interviewing a couple different players at the NBA, or at the NBA, haha, at the USA men's basketball practice. Obviously, Russell Westbrook. From late
have you
Long
looked
Beach.
At that? Have you looked at the roster of that team recently?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You would never have known at that time how ridiculous it would end up being, because I don't think there was ever any idea that KD, Russ, and Harden would all be MVPs one day.
Mm-mm.
And Anthony Davis was on that team.
We thought they were going to be teammates forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Davis was on that team. Yeah, you're right.
It's really it was a real generation. Kobe's 5 years older than everyone else on that team.
Yep.
And so we walked up to there's a picture. You took a picture of me interviewing Kevin Durant. There's two people.
There's
there.
Two people there. Yes, exactly. A lot more people surrounding Kobe. And we got in there. And so I unplugged the microphone that we had that had our little logo on the side of it. And I was like, Mike, just get it close enough to – Mike's bringing it up on the computer right now. This
is beautiful.
I'm
showing you this picture.
It's beautiful. get it close enough to Kobe so it looks like he's talking into the microphone. The thing's not even plugged in. It's not even on. I'm not here to get the audio. I'm only here to get the pictures. And while we're doing this, he's just answering questions in different languages. Somebody asked him a question in German. He'd answer it. Somebody asked him a question in Spanish. He'd answer it. Somebody asked him a question in Italian. He'd answer it. All in their native tongue.
Right. My favorite, which I put in the column we did for the post, is, you know, a guy asks him a question. He clearly has a very heavy Spanish accent. And Kobe asked him, do you want me to answer in English or Spanish? And the guy just like, Spanish, please. I mean, there aren't any other athletes that you would tell that story about.
Nope.
I mean, just like to put it plainly, like we've been blessed in America with a few figures, Jackie Robinson's and Muhammad Ali's, who socially had so much importance. But the importance of Kobe and that intellectual curiosity is such a different thing. And the story I was going to tell is, what's incredible to me, he sort of saw himself as this caretaker of his own story and everything. I'm in New York watching Kobe and Powell win Kobe's fifth NBA championship. Kobe's championship. He sits down and is doing the postgame press conference, and you and I start texting from across the country because he starts talking about playing at Long Beach State.
Yeah.
And he starts talking to – I was just talking to D. Fish about – because that was also Fish's first game.
Yep.
So I was just talking to D. Fish about our first game as Lakers, you know, in the pyramid at Long Beach State 20 years ago. And I'm just thinking, like, you and me, when you and I have a big day work-wise, I don't ever think about us being 23 and starting out. I think about that when, like, in the summer when I'm bored or something. But I thought the fact that he connected – that peak for him of that fifth title to that day in that moment like that was such a different way of looking at things.
Yeah, it's a pulled back zoom. That's for sure.
Yes.
One last story about Kobe that has to do with Long Beach. Tony Azevedo was named Athlete of the Decade, rightfully so, by the Century Club on Monday night at the banquet. And when he got up there, he did a little speech. And part of his speech was to tell the story of hanging out with Kobe Bryant at the opening ceremonies of the Summer Olympics. Now, if you don't know, Tony Azevedo, the greatest water polo player to ever come out of the United States, made 5 straight Olympics. So he knows how the opening ceremonies go. Kobe loved the Olympics, dude. He loved them, and he went to as many as he possibly could. So they actually built a friendship on that one night every 4 years when they were walking together into whatever stadium in whatever country.
It's a pretty cool tradition to have.
Pretty cool. So he said the first time they were talking, they were kind of talking about greatness and what it means and how to get there. And let's be honest, those are two of the greatest to ever do it in their sport. And then the second time, he's walking into the stadium.
Well, really, just worth noting, Tony more solidified as the GOAT in his sport than
without question.
Than Kobe
in terms of American sport,
which is something that Kobe was drawn to.
Right. Yes. Kobe found Tony Azevedo, not the other way around. And so the second time that they were both at the same opening ceremonies, Tony told the story on Monday night. He said, I'm just walking into the stadium and I hear somebody yell from behind me, Ciao, Capitan. And it's Kobe. And then they just sat there and spoke Italian to each other for like a half hour. Greatness, man. Greatness. It's not for everybody.
If you're having a busy week like JJ and I are, and it has been a busy 2 weeks in the last 2 days, it feels like.
I don't even know what day it is.
You probably don't have time to cook dinner for your family. Our recommendation, go down to Naples Rib Company. They're family down there, and during an emotional week, that's who you want to be around.
True.
Dave Ursini at Naples Rib Company has sponsored everything the two of us have done for over 10 years. He's the only reason, one of the only reasons that we are here doing this podcast. And continuing our lives as sports writers. So you definitely want to get down to Naples Rib Company. Talk to Dave Ursini. Tell him Mike and JJ sent you. Have yourself a good meal.
We mentioned it before. We're still kind of wiping the sleep and excitement out of our eyes after being the MCs at the sports banquet for the Century Club here in Long Beach, one of the coolest organizations in the world, let alone just around here. Every year, the Century Club brings Long Beach sports best to the Grand Hotel, feeds them, let us take the mic, make fools out of ourselves, and hand out some really, really great awards. Some awards with some incredible history. I mean, it's not like they just started doing this banquet. What is it, the 64th annual?
Yes, the Long Beach Century Club's 64th Sports Night Banquet. I don't think there's any other event like it that I've ever seen. It honors the best high school athletes in the city, the best college athletes in the city, as well as an athlete of the year that's like a pro athlete usually, and that has a Hall of Fame. And it is, I mention this every time I write about it, it's really the only real sports Hall of Fame in the city for Long Beach, in that it is, we have like the Long Beach State Hall of Fame, the OBCC Hall of Fame, yeah, the Wilson Hall of Fame, the Poly Football Hall of Fame. This is the only sports Hall of Fame that anyone who's dope in Long Beach can get into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all schools, all sports, all ages, like anything. Coaches, athletes, administrators. There's a sports writer in there in Jim McCormick. And I think that, to me, that Hall of Fame is the most special thing that the Century Club has and does. But this event is amazing in that, like last night, you can induct a Chase Utley, but you also have your high school baseball player of the year in the city is in the room, which Chase Utley was in like 1997 or whatever.
So, yeah, I really liked thinking about that. And when we talk about the all city,
yeah,
you know, high school kids, we can definitely mention the ones that we think might be back in that room.
Oh, for sure.
About 25 years.
But I want to just up front, both journalistically and also as a proud husband, mention my wife is the president of the Century Club this year.
Robble, robble.
I was the president, I don't know, 5 years ago-ish or something. She's the first woman to ever be president of the club. It's been around since 1957, so that is a good bit of history to be making. The evening opened with Mayor Robert Garcia announced Billie Jean King is making a $50,000 donation to the Century Club in honor of my wife, Shar Higa.
That is just absolutely incredible.
Pretty sweet, Jage.
Absolutely incredible stuff. So, yeah, shouts to Billie Jean King, Shar Higa. The future is female. I love it. It's awesome.
It was rad. But, yes, that it's easily my favorite night of the year in our job because for you and me, it is like going to a wedding. We're the only people there who know everybody.
Yeah, which is weird because this is a tight-knit community, but the rowing community doesn't mix with poly basketball that much.
No, we do.
All the time.
You know what I mean? Quite frequently. So that to me is what's special is it's like we're saying what's up to Ziggy, and then we're turning over here and thanking the mayor for coming and saying nice stuff about Shar. And then you turn over here and our friend Chase DeYoung, Major League Baseball player who's been our friend since he was a kid. Like, you know what I mean? We know all that stuff. And I wouldn't say that I have the ego to say that we connect them, but I do feel like our work is part of what does create that kind of connective tissue.
Who was it? Chase DeYoung and Ariana Augustine? No.
Ariana Washington.
Ariana Washington.
Yeah, so we introduced to each other and they're just like friends now.
Yeah, and I remember very specifically Chase turning into her and being like,
stuff on IG.
Oh, I saw your video from Mike and JJ. Like,
right.
That's how I know that
you're
really
great.
Good.
Right.
I think one of my favorite parts of the night is the community awards, because what other sports community is just like, you know what? We're really freaking great.
Yeah.
We're just going to start giving people awards for also being really great, like Mayor Robert Garcia, who got the Keith Cordes Award for promotion of the city of Long Beach through sports. He was masterful in getting all of the events for the Olympics here in Long Beach. What was it? BMX, handball, open water swimming, sailing, triathlon, water polo. Water polo in Long Beach for the 2028 Olympics? Good on you, Mayor Garcia, and the Century Club was proud to give him that award.
JJ and I have won the Keith Cordes Award twice. So
this is true.
It's a good one to win. The Mayor's Night actually started with, they presented, I think this is the fourth year that the educational scholarships presented by the Mayor and the Century Club went out to a boy and a girl from all of the high schools that have sports in Long Beach, as well as a check presented to LBCC and Long Beach State. That program has now given out $142,000 over the last 4 or 5 years. And that went to some athletes who were not athletes of the year, but we know a lot of those kids, Tia Spears and Ryan Mayo, Riley Jenkins, obviously, Maje Gravelli from Poly. Like, yeah. It was so cool to see those kids get that help for them, mm-hmm. scholarship-wise. And then, yeah, we jumped into it with the rest of these community awards.
Well-dressed group as well. The high school kids who came through. You never know, right? Like, you never know what they're going
to
be
I
wearing.
I love seeing those kids because let me say this. I was lucky enough to win a couple awards and scholarships and stuff when I was in high school. And as you know, and probably some of our listeners know, my family was very much not well off, to say the least, at that time. And there's literally no greater pride for me in my childhood than taking my mom and my little brother to an award thing like that, where it was like the dinner was because of me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like getting dressed up like that. And you saw some of those kids were dressed to the nines last night.
Yeah, man.
And I knew, and I always look at them and I'm like, I know exactly the way you feel.
Feels
right
real
now.
Good.
You're like, I'm the man. I'm feeding my family tonight. They're here to see me be recognized. You just feel like, it's one of the few moments as a kid where being an adult does not seem terrifying. You know what I mean? You're like, yes, I'm going to go crush everything. Like,
some of the other community awards I wanted to make sure to mention. Tim Richmond won the Bob and Nell Carragher Award. He's really great coach, mentor, leader locally. The Harold Hoffman Memorial Scholarship Award is really cool because they just give scholarships to Long Beach City athletes. So that's really great. So that got handed out.
They gave $3,500 each to a soccer player and a water polo player at Long Beach City College.
Keith Anderson won one. Elijah McGee, the kid we wrote a story about at Cabrillo, who's now at LBCC. Travis Darnot was in the building, Major League Baseball player,
you were
on
hyped
his way
to, see Darnot.
To play for that. I just didn't think that he was going to be around. Like, his career has just been on a knife's edge for the last few years.
Yeah.
I just thought he would like wrap himself in plastic wrap and like hang out at his mom's house or something. But it was good
that
to see him out
until the banquet.
Yeah, he was he was all smiles and yeah, to give an award to a guy that you basically write about like every other week when I do the LB yeah. and MLB. It was really cool to see him.
It was really funny to me. That was you and I both always have like so and so is going to be here. And what you were like, oh, who's going to accept for Darnot? And I was like, oh, no, he's coming.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Darnot's here. That's great. The way he got tracked down was that Dan Gooch drinks at the Annex with his dad.
Perfect. So. Now that's a Long Beach sports story.
Speaking of Gooch, he gives an award out in honor of his mom to a couple people who really helped the club out, and that went to Dr. Sandra Rittman, who is also John Philpott's wife. John Philpott, a longtime friend of ours and the show. And Kevin Valinsky, who is the Century Club's membership director.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin. He has done an incredible job increasing the membership for the Century Club. If you're interested in joining the Century Club, that information is everywhere. You yeah. can get online, hit him up on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. It's really simple. It's one-year donation of $100. Get yeah. it? Century Club. It's a fun group, not just on this night. Like, the Tuesday meetings at the Boathouse are also a really great time. But then they do the charity that you want to be involved in, right? Like, I don't have the time to figure out how to give the Special Olympics $100 every year.
Right.
But the Century Club takes care of that for me. Every year, the Century Club donates $2,500 to the SOSC, which is located here in Long Beach. And then they choose two athletes to be highlighted. And it's one of the coolest moments of the night, because if you can't get behind the Special Olympics, just get out of sports.
Yes. And that actually was something. One thing that I did not mention.
Paralympics.
At the banquet last night. Well, no, not even that. Was that Kobe Bryant, shortly after his retirement, there was like a campaign to get him to go to the Special Olympics Southern California's banquet, and he couldn't make it because he'd retired, I think, like 3 days prior. And it was like, I'm not quite doing public events yet. But he recorded like a 2-minute video for those athletes That's to really play great. At their banquet. And this is in Long Beach at the banquet for the SOSC. I loved it. Everyone's trying to get a hold of Kobe Bryant. He just did a video for these kids in the Special Olympics. And that video is like so touching that it has, I don't know if you've seen this, it's like gone viral the last day just because people are like, this is such a comforting message mm-hmm. from a guy who is known for being so intense that everyone's just sort of gravitated to that. And every time I see someone saying like, wow, I really needed this, I always think like, he just recorded that for a bunch of kids yeah. in Southern California.
Yeah, that's really that, great. You know? We also got a shout out, like I said, Paralympics coming to Long Beach, part of that, Mayor Garcia working with the Olympic Committee, try to get those games here in the city. And Mike and I were in London as they were setting up for the Paralympics after the Summer Olympics were happening. And it's also a huge deal and a great sporting event and inspiring because yes. that's what the Olympics are supposed to be. Speaking of inspiring, it was inspiring to introduce the winner of the Ernie G. Pullman Memorial Award. One Calvin Brodus, a.k.a. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The Century Club gave an award to Snoop Dogg on Monday night.
Yeah, and, like, rightfully so. You know what uh-huh. I mean? Like, it was one of those things that at a board meeting it gets floated and everyone's like, oh, it's sort of a funny idea. And it's like, well, who – I mean, Keith Anderson and Tim Richmond done unbelievable things for our youth, but it's like this guy started an entire football league.
For real. It's a pretty big deal. It's now nationwide. Netflix has got a doc on it, so check out that documentary when you get a chance.
Yeah. Getting into what JJ called the superlatives last night, which I thought was great. The Coach of the Year award went to Alan Knipe. That did not require a ton of discussion. It led the Long Beach State men's volleyball team to back-to-back national titles. TJ DeFalco was the athlete of the year. TJ was really stoked on how kind of prestigious that was when I sent him a picture of the previous people who'd won. He couldn't be there because he's in Italy playing pro volleyball, which is his life's goal. So
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. The athlete of the decade stuff is also pretty cool. And like I said, that's what Tony Azevedo won.
Just to put that in perspective, they've given that award three times. Tony Gwynn won it for the 90s. Misty May won it for the 2000s, and Tony won it for the 2010s.
They're pretty good.
Pretty good 3 out of 4. Pretty good athletes. Rushmore right there. You know,
6 Hall of Fame nominations. On Monday night?
Yeah, it's too many. You know, if I could...
Okay, fair enough.
If I could offer one critique. The Century Club, it's usually 3. It's been 4 recently because they've been putting in a posthumous person. I would be surprised if we ever see 6 again because that was the only part of the evening that dragged out a little bit.
Yeah.
Was 6. 6, in my opinion, probably don't need to do that many again.
They were all good speeches. There were just 6 of them.
And some of them were also quite long.
You could have used you could have used a little less. But like we said, Chase Utley, which was great. Tell 12-year-old JJ he gets to introduce Chase Utley and
for his first ever Hall of Fame induction.
That doesn't make any sense. I made sure to say that he's a Hall of Famer in our book no matter what
he appreciated
major
league
baseball
plays. He appreciated that. I saw him appreciate that. He gave you a nod when you said that.
Jess Hardy?
Great. Yeah.
Great speech from Jess Hardy. She came up there and said she's a sprinter, so she's going to do this fast. That got probably one of the biggest laughs of the night.
Yeah.
And then she almost cried while, like, just being herself.
It was just straight from the heart.
It was beautiful, dude.
I mean, she went up there with no speech.
I think she looked at her family. I think she looked at her family
that's
table.
That's what always gets people, dude. Chase teared up a little bit when he was looking at his dad.
Yeah.
He had his dad stand up so he could just talk about, you know, his dad instilling a love of baseball in him and stuff. And
yeah.
I was like, and he's saying that, and I'm looking over at my son with tears in my eyes, and my son, of course, is like, you know, trying to make a fart face at me or something. But the one that surprised me the most was Scott Breithaupt's brother. He's passed away. He basically invented this. Did you know this?
Yes.
He basically invented the sport of BMX biking, like in the hills that were around Long Beach State before mm-hmm. they were paved. Mike Filippo, the cross country coach at Poly, by the way, like helped him build his first. He like helped him build the hills for the first BMX courses over there.
And perfect reason, because they couldn't afford motorcycles.
Right.
So they're like, how else can we do this?
But yeah, that was great. I thought his brother, he told the story basically just about his spirit and about how much of this stuff he organized while he was a student at Wilson, which I just love stories like that. He's on the phone with, you know, businessmen in Japan trying to set up sponsorship for this event at the Coliseum, like in between fourth and fifth period.
Yeah, that was a great story. Also honored Hall of Famers, Mac Calvin, Chuck McFerrin, and another posthumous, John Ford. Those speeches were really good too, because they all had stories. I love speeches with stories, and everybody who got up there had a nice little story to tell that kind of was like an anecdote for why they were in the building in the first place.
The only one I'll say, and I was kind of laughing with my wife about this, John Ford's son, Dale, who gave the speech by him, could have been talking about any football coach.
His Pop Warner football coach.
It was just like, it was so funny. There was no, like, you're waiting for the anecdote where it's like, and then we went home and you know what I mean? It was like,
yeah.
Nope. It was just like, this is who he was as a coach. He treated me like this. He treated everyone like this. And obviously, if you know the reputation of John Ford over there at Lakewood, that sort of like perfectly fitting. But I did get a chuckle out of that, that it was like, there's no behind the scenes there, you know?
Yeah, right. That's right in your face. Long Beach City Awards as well. The Century Club always represents for the Vikings over there at LBCC. Calissa Candelot, three sports star, volleyball and track and field. D'Anthony Jones, the football star, the football stud, who's on his way to the next level. And volleyball coach Jonathan Charette were all honored for what they've done in the last few years over there at LBCC. And for Long Beach State, not surprising, it was Josh Twininga, the center for the volleyball team, who won two titles, and Haley Tigrett, the golfer, who won the Big West title last year, the second straight Big West championship for Long Beach State. On the high school side, for the coaches, it's Pat Noyes and his great coaching staff over there at Cabrillo Boys Soccer, who helped that team get over a loss in the CIF Southern Section Championship game, a heartbreaker 1-0 defeat, and then just come out and be the most dominant team in the history of the CIF Southern SoCal region,
yeah,
Division II state playoffs. No one scored more goals in the state playoffs than the Cabrillo Jaguars, and that's pretty cool.
I thought that was great, and I thought if you look at the history of that award, which goes back to the 80s, the names that you expect to see are on there: Jerry Jaso, Don Norford, Bill O'Dell, Spud, Andy Hall, and Pat's the first Cabrillo coach. He also is one of the first coaches that Cabrillo ever hired, so it was like especially fitting that 20 plus years later, he gets to be the first guy, but I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. The coolest part of the night for me is bringing up the high school students just to see the parents react to their kids getting the award. That's my favorite part. I see the kid walk, we read the thing, and then I immediately find who's got the phone taking a picture of them, because the smile on the parents and coach's face taking a picture of those kids getting their awards is, and I hate to be cliche, it's what it's all about, dude.
No, it's great. And the order of the program has changed over the years that we've been going to it. We've been going to it for 13 years.
I know.
You know what? Because when we went, it had just gone over 50 years of doing it. Now they're almost at 65. The order has changed. The high school, it used to be the Hall of Famers at the end, but there was the specific year Bruce Bradley was going into the Hall of Fame and had this beautiful, emotional, stirring speech for the high school students who had already gotten their awards and left.
Yeah.
So we end on the high school awardees now. And I just think that's perfect because they've sat and listened to people who went to their school,
mm-hmm,
played their sport,
won the award they're about to win.
Yeah, and then who are now in the Hall of Fame and have won Olympic gold medals and whatever else, you know. So it is, and I think the parents get juiced off that too. They're coming up and it's like, wow, you can see the whole road in front of you, you know.
If you wanted the full list of who won the Athlete of the Year for each sport, you got to follow the Century Club on Instagram. They put up the pictures of all the kids on Monday and got their shine out there. But we can talk about the Athletes of the Year, because there were two
girls.
So there's
a player of the year for each sport. So like baseball, softball, like everyone gets one. And then there's two this year. There were two overall Athletes of the Year for each gender. So there's usually one. This year it looked like the voting was tied. So there was two girls and two boys who are named the overall athletes. Can't really argue with the picks there. On the girls' side, it was Rachel Glenn at Wilson. The track superstar you've heard us talk about a number of times. She's coming up on her senior. She'll win this again next year. I'll just go ahead and say that.
Yeah, if she wins two more state titles, which she probably will, because she's running the 300, she's in the high jump, she's got multiple events.
Well, and they'll be in the running for the 4x4 and stuff.
Yeah,
and
she's going to be the all-time record holder at Wilson for state championships, and they've been running for a while over there at Wilson.
They've produced a number of track and field Olympians. Yes, the other one was Adanya Yandel Famuina, a volleyball player who my favorite thing at this banquet is getting to introduce the young superstars to the like larger community at large. We got to do that with Juju. We got to do it with Chase DeYoung. We got to do it with Ariana Washington. These were all kids that we knew were going to go have professional careers. And Adania, to me, is that one. Because Rachel won the thing last year as well. But Adania, to me, was the one where it's like, this is your first time at this banquet, and I want you to look around. Because you'll be here again, and you'll probably be here again at the next level up from high school as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really special. On the boys' side, we also had a special moment with Arnold Giron, Cabrillo's soccer player who had two hat tricks in that state playoffs that I was mentioning. And right now he's working with the Developmental Academy for the Los Angeles Football Club. That's LAFC. Yes, that LAFC. He's still going to school at Cabrillo, so that's tough to be doing both. But he goes to LA.
He's on the U-17 national team
three times a week to train with them. He's on he's on the developmental side for Olympic stuff.
He's on the national team. He made the roster. He's on the U-17 national team.
Yeah, but that doesn't pay your bills. This guy's like 2 years away from possibly paying his bills for playing for LAFC.
But to make
steps away from the Coliseum.
But to make it, if you're wondering how rare it is for a kid to make a national team in high school, no one else has done it this year. I think Chris Betts might have been the last kid to make a national team as a high school student.
Betts made it. It's a lot more common in volleyball, obviously. And the other winner of the award, the other co-awardee, is Aiden Gross from St. Anthony Volleyball, who, last year was in Oklahoma for the USA Volleyball High Performance Training Program. And if you're in the Olympics, you probably went to that event. And he's going to be at Long Beach State. So it's so cool to see a great athlete awarded and then be like, don't worry, you guys, we still get to watch this kid play. And he went to the right school to try to get to the Olympics and play professionally overseas.
Yeah. He's at Long Beach State. We had to give that plaque to Alan Knipe.
It's a volleyball school.
To take home to it. Volleyball school. Hashtag volleyball school.
Have
you seen the new signs, by the way? We haven't been over there, but have you seen the signs that Dan Gooch got up recognizing the volleyball national championships?
No.
There's a sign on Atherton right in front of the pyramid. There's a sign on 7th on the backside of the university that says Long Beach State University, home of volleyball national champions. And it has the women's and men's. And I pointed out to Dan, he sneakily also got, by getting the approval for that, and they are up now, you can see them. He also now got the city to put up the first signage anywhere that says Long Beach State.
Oh, very true.
So it kind of got two birds with one stone. Cool to see the history recognized, and then great that we start to see the Long Beach State signage going up.
Yeah, not just in Andy Fee's office.
Yeah. Or in our hearts, yeah.
So we've said a lot of things are our favorite parts of the night. I think the best part, the part that like really makes sense to me, is that at the end, the Century Club holds a contest throughout the NFL season where everybody picks a team. It's like a suicide pool. You have to pick a team, but then you can't pick them again. Last picker, last man standing, women or man for that matter, gets to give an award that is a scholarship to any of the kids who won the Athlete of the Year award. So that's really, really cool that we get to give money to the best athletes in the city each and every year.
Yep.
Rich Foster was able to give it to Wilson Water Polo / UCLA Water Polo player Brooke Grenison. And then through a drawing, Long Beach State / Poly basketball player Justin Renee got the second one. And we're not talking like $500. We're talking about like $3,000.
It was $3,000. Yeah, Tim DeWeese stepped up to match the Last Man Standing scholarship, so they get to go to two people now, which I just think is like, what a dude.
It's the reason why you have an organization like the Century Club in a city like Long Beach.
Yeah.
Just turn around and pay it forward.
For sure. And yeah, quite a bit of money was given away last night. About $50,000 was given away last night, which we love to see. It was a great event, like I said, for us professionally as well as just personally. And other than when we're coming home from Fresno and the state track meet is over and like we've officially closed the year, there's no other feeling for me where I just feel pure relaxation. You go home from that and you're just like, did it. Another year. You know what I mean? And it was a special one last night. I think one more story. You told the Tony Azevedo story.
Yeah.
You told him we're talking about Kobe. Yeah. Yeah. That was just an unbelievable moment.
It really
was. That's not what that banquet was about.
He came up to us before the banquet and said, hey, am I supposed to say something? As if he didn't know what he was going to say if he needed to. Greatness, Mike.
It's always the people. Greatness. It's always the people who pretend they're not ready that just smack you right in the face.
he's had practice at that as well. So one more time. Shout out to the Long Beach Century Club. If you want more information on the club, follow them on social media. Or, hey, email us, mike@the562.org, jj@the562.org. We can give you that information or anything you want to know about Long Beach sports. We want to get you guys more involved with this show. It's your show. It's your website. It's your sports community. So get involved at the562.org and right here at Long Beach Post. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else who helps get these shows and all the other content up online, we will see you in the stands this weekend. Take care.
Kobe.